Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM and around the state on so many terrific Civic Media stations. We got our friends out in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and the Shaw in Waukesha, and so many more. And on a Wednesday afternoon, this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon we are blessed with here in April, joined by William Walter on a Wednesday, and we got Evan on the board. Evan and Will, how are we doing today?
What up, party people?
Yeah, you got to go first, buddy. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Global warming isn't real. We didn't go
That's my bad, actually, guys. I took it a little too far. I was not expecting 80 degrees today.
Yeah, we didn't go from 20 degrees to 70 degrees in, like, 30 hours. We didn't, you know, it's fine.
What? Yeah, it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
Did you guys see the severe weather alert?
Yeah.
Red flag warning.
We talked about it yesterday when it started, the DNR announcing for a lot of the counties, and now I believe it's up to, like, 44 counties total. In severe weather alerts. So yes, with the wind conditions, how warm it is and how dry it is in some places. In other places, there's threats of flooding because this warm weather coming so quickly across the state of Wisconsin is taking all that snow that we had recently and melting it very quickly. Unexpected snow melt in northern Wisconsin, leading to some potential flood conditions as well. So folks,
it's almost like this isn't natural, and we've been warned for 50 years and we should maybe do something about it. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Those reports that ExxonMobil and, you know, all the other big fossil fuel companies hid in the 80s and 90s saying, like, climate change was real? Yeah, it's very unfortunate that they were hidden and suppressed and not talked about as often. And the people talking about climate were just downplayed.
Labeled conspiracy theorists and ignored, and then it turns out they're right.
That is a tangent for another day, but here on a Wednesday afternoon, we've got plenty of tangents for you. If you want to join in with us, 844-967-2789. And we got a number of tangents that we're going to get to, Will, but so let's kick it off where we start first. Earlier today, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announcing that she is running for a third term in 2024. The Madison area Democrat was first elected in 2012. And so she's announcing now that she is running for this third term next year, effectively kicking off the 2024 cycle here in Wisconsin, Will, 8 days, 8 days after our spring general election. So, folks.
Protecting democracy, Luke, 24/7 gig.
Get ready for it. It's coming. We alluded to it last week that this announcement was coming. Senator Baldwin making it official, announcing her plans to seek re-election next year. Which means now, Will, there's a lot of Republicans here in Wisconsin that are kind of on the clock, very much like, what is it, the Carolina Panthers are on the clock in the NFL. A lot of Republicans here in Wisconsin on the clock, going to be probably hearing a lot of announcements for those candidacies in that Republican primary to see who will go against Senator Baldwin next year. What are your thoughts? Who do you think are going to be some of these names jumping in? Because I've got one name that I've been hearing a lot of, and I don't necessarily know if that individual is going to get in the race. And I also have a second name that I think may be getting in the race, but, you know, not a whole lot of other people are mentioning. But I want to hear your thoughts first, Will. And if you've got thoughts to share with Will and I, 844-967-2789 of candidates that you believe may get in the race for the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate in 2024. Again, the number to call, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. But Will, who do you think is getting into this race to win the primary?
Well, first of all, Luke, I know you're a big soccer, basketball, and baseball guy, but when we've talked American football in the past, it's not your specialty. That was a well-done, timely reference to the NFL draft coming up at the end of April. You are correct. The Panthers are on the clock because the Bears traded that pick.
Yes. What have I been wrong about in NFL American football?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that that's not your favorite pastime. Let's put it that way. I've made it clear
I love all sports.
I follow certain sports.
I love all
others,
the sports. So. Right now the Milwaukee Bucks are the most exciting professional sports team in my opinion. Any sport, they're terrific. They're so much fun to watch on and off the court. But I love my Packers. I love my Badger football. I love the Brewers. I love them all.
All right. All right, fair. I was giving you a shout-out, and you took it personal. So.
It felt like you were criticizing my knowledge. I know that Carolina's on the clock.
So that anyways, the first name that comes to mind for me, and we'll get into this a little bit later, that kind of reinforced this as he tried to make the news with a bit of a ludicrous statement of his own, is Mike Gallagher. He's been talked up throughout GOP circles for a couple of years now. They want someone who's young, somebody who is – as weird as it sounds, attractive. I hear a lot of GOP operatives that I'm maybe not friendly is the right word, but acquainted with who have said like, yeah, we think we can win over these middle-class suburban women if we give them this young, energized, attractive male who's going to come and show that the Republican Party's not just old, crusty white people type deal. I am thinking Gallagher might be preparing himself for this run. I do think we have to note, as you pointed out, fresh off of Janet Protasiewicz's 11-point victory last Tuesday, in Tammy Baldwin's first re-election bid in 2018, she also won by 11 points, defeating Republican challenger Leah Vukmir. Tammy has been very popular in the state of Wisconsin. I think that you can't take anything for granted, obviously. You're still going to have to run a good campaign. But Tammy, in my opinion, is one of the 5 or 10 best U.S. senators. She is all very frequently at the forefront of the kind of progressive policy changes that I want to see out of my U.S. senators rather than what might be considered, you know, the stereotypical Democratic establishment. That's not to say she's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I think Tammy is uniquely popular in a way that a very small handful of senators are, and because it doesn't seem that there is an obvious challenger, I think this might be a unique opportunity for the Democrats to kind of take a different approach to a campaign because they know that we should be victorious in this one.
Well, I think Senator Baldwin is a formidable candidate. I think she I'll make the prediction now. I think that there's a pretty good chance that next year, regardless of who's at the top of the ticket for president, I think Tammy Baldwin may get more Wisconsin votes in 2024 than the either candidate for a Democrat or Republican at the presidential level.
That's a pretty safe bet.
She had more votes in 2018 than Tony Evers did in the Tony Evers Scott Walker election, and I think that Tammy Baldwin will be the largest vote getter in Wisconsin in 2024. I think she will receive the most votes come November of next year, and I believe Republicans are going to have their work cut out for them trying to field a candidate, and I don't think Mike Gallagher, I don't think he gets in the race, Will. I think Mike Gallagher sees how formidable an opponent Tammy Baldwin would be, and I think he's not interested in getting his clock clean like Leah Vukmir.
Scott Walker philosophy. Wink, wink, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to run against Tammy because the Senate wouldn't be fun.
It's not that. It's not that Gallagher wouldn't be – that he would be bored as a senator, like the former governor, Scott Walker, said, I believe last month. He indicated, I'm not running for Senate because I would be bored. And I think Mike Gallagher, now the chair of this oversight committee in the U.S. House of Representatives, now that they have the majority, has a little bit of power, and he's going to see, he's going to use that to check, quote unquote, China for the next 2 years. And I don't think that he wants to give up the potential to continue to serve in that role in the next session of Congress if Republicans are able to maintain the majority in the U.S. House for the off chance that he may be in the U.S. Senate. I think he is, I think he's reading, he's a young guy. As you said, the Republicans are looking for a young candidate. But I think that he is probably more likely than not considering, well, since I am a younger guy, I got plenty of time in front of me. Why would I want to go up against Tammy Baldwin in 2024? I'll wait. I'll buy my time, and maybe it will be later.
Maybe he's prepping for a run at Johnson's seat after this term ends, assuming Johnson doesn't run again, and he thinks that might be the safer.
We know Johnson's word is pretty meaningless when it comes to that, because he said he would never. He made a two-term promise, and he ran for a third term. So yeah,
I think Luke that Walker's words are also useless, and that was the joke I was making, is that Walker was saying it's because he would be bored. In reality, he's very well aware that he would get absolutely run out of the gym by Senator Baldwin, so he had no interest in doing that, but his ego is way, way, way too big that he had to instead make it about himself and how busy he is at, you know, whatever, you know, Fox News clip factory he's making on Twitter every night, yeah, getting ratioed left and right type deal.
Well, folks, I've got a suggestion of who I believe the Republicans are going to float. Already an individual that sought higher office that he currently has here in Wisconsin. And I'm going to share that one, but we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. News earlier today, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announcing she is running for a third term, going for re-election in 2024. We want to hear your thoughts on who the Republicans may have in their primary next year going up against Tammy Baldwin. Again, 844-967-2789. And Will, I'm going to be curious if you can guess who's on my mind of who may jump in. We know some of those conservative businessmen may jump in as well. But this one, already elected official and shown that interest in the higher office. So we're going to talk about that and more tangents. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We'll be right back. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. And on a Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by William Walter, kicking around some tangents and headlines and your political thoughts on who Republicans may have as their candidate to go up against. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announcing earlier today her re-election plans for 2024. I have a feeling it's not going to be a super crowded primary, Will, but I think that there's enough interest from individuals that are opportunistic to try to get a seat in the U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin.
Or at least build their brand for the future.
Yes. And in some regard, Congressman Gallagher may be that individual. I don't think that he is. I don't think he just wants to build his brand and risk being in the U.S. or in the U.S. House of Representatives for a chance to lose by 10 points to Tammy Baldwin, because that was the last in 2018, a non-presidential, it was an off year midterm cycle. Tammy Baldwin cleaned up in Wisconsin. It was a margin that was shocking compared to how razor close the rest of the statewide races were in 2018. And so I don't see Mike Gallagher lining up to jump into that race, because if it is a crowded primary, conservatives here in Wisconsin have shown through their primaries that they're taking the more extreme candidates, in my opinion. Dan Kelly, although his opponent in the primary Judge Jennifer Doro was very unknown outside of the national attention that she got for the Daryl Brooks Jr. case last year. I believe that Dan Kelly was probably the more extreme of the two. He had taken very extreme positions in the past, and he worked for the Republican Party to legally consult on overturning the 2020 election results. That's pretty extreme.
I think the Democrats agree as that was the candidate that they were preferring to go
and
against.
I think Tim Michaels was the more extreme of the candidates when it became the Clayfish-Michaels primary after Kevin Nicholson dropped out. And maybe Mike Gallagher gets in there, but I think that this primary will lead to individuals having to take extremist positions on some of these issues and then have to go up against a formidable general election candidate in U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. And so I don't think it's going to be Gallagher. But I'll give you a couple guesses of who do you think I'm thinking of when it comes to who I believe may get in this race and may have a shot at winning the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in 2024.
Playing a little guess who 20 questions here. All right.
Yeah.
Is this person old?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm stunned, actually. Is this person a white man?
Yes.
All right. That's a safe bet with the conservatives, at least. Is this person... You said that they're currently an elected official. Do they serve at the national level or the state level?
State level. That's not how 20 questions works, but state level.
It's
supposed to be yes or no questions.
okay, you're right. I should have said, is this a federal representative?
State elected official.
Are they based in southern Wisconsin?
No.
Dang it. I don't know northern Wisconsin very well.
It's not northern either, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, based on your logic, that's not how you play 20 questions either.
I know. But we're on the radio and just dead silence isn't good for air either, Will. So you're just going, isn't great either.
Well, I was going to jokingly throw out Tim Michaels, but that evidently wouldn't be the answer.
That doesn't fall on the map anywhere in Wisconsin. Yeah, that's way due east. Way due east of here. No, but ran for higher office in 2022 as well. And I think it's going to be State Senator Patrick Teston. I think he's going to throw his name in the ring. Ran for lieutenant governor last year. And I believe... checks a lot of the boxes of somebody at the state level that's run at statewide now. And I think that if I had to put money on it, I think Patrick Teston's a good candidate to get in the race for Republicans and potentially win that nominee. Now, I don't believe that Patrick Teston defeats Tammy Baldwin in 2024, but that would be my guess of who I think may be jumping in the race and maybe able to win the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in 2024. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. What do you think, Will? Do you think that's a pretty decent guess? Or
I think that would be an excellent like DraftKings throw in if Luke was just like, all right, I'm putting $5 on Teston. What odds are you going to give me? But
sports
no,
gambling
I mean,
live over in Pottawatomie Casino in Milwaukee now. But yeah, I think
give it 5 or 10 years. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if there's already odds set on candidates running throughout the country. That would not shock me in the slightest. But you made a good point, Luke, that I think somebody who's young and has a lot of time, very similar to the Gallagher point that I made, except this individual would not be giving up an already won seat at the national table, a very powerful position in the United States House of Representatives, and somebody who could also be building their brand by running in a race that they probably won't win, but allows them to get the state recognition to maybe take that next step in a future race, perhaps Ron Johnson's upcoming seat. Maybe that's what Gallagher is waiting for. I don't know. And if you want to get that experience, you know, I believe statistically, the average candidate doesn't win until their third race. Now, Teston is already serving in the state Senate, so this is not somebody who's coming out of the woodwork to run for office for the first time. Maybe that's not applicable. But if he wants experience at the state level running for a federal race that will have a lot more important a lot deeper implications than just a state Senate race. It makes a lot of sense. I think that's a good guess.
I have a feeling that's probably one of the individuals that may be getting in this primary. We want to hear your thoughts. We're going to get to more tangents as well. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Share those calls and texts. 844-967-2789.
Feeling good on a Wednesday, sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents around the state of Wisconsin, Civic Media radio stations near you, whether it's Lake Eyre up in Amory, Talk of Green Bay on WGBW, or so many more. Download the Civic Media app. You can take us with you on the go. You can jump from station to station, hear all the excellent programming. This evening, tune in for the Empowered Caregivers at 7 p.m. Governor Tony Evers sitting down with Liza and Kristen for their show, and it's going to be an excellent interview. You're going to want to tune in 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Network for Empowered Caregivers. And download that app wherever you are. You can listen to it in the 7 o'clock hour. Will, we're talking who we believe may be getting into the 2024 Republican race to see who goes up against Tammy Baldwin. Announcing earlier today, effectively kicking off the 2024 cycle for Wisconsin, that she is indeed seeking a third term to the U.S. Senate, and it's gonna be a domino effect. I believe. I think we're gonna see at least a couple Republican names announce in the coming weeks that they're getting interested to take on Tammy Baldwin in that race, and. I don't know if Mike Gallagher gets into it, but it seems like the way that he's been taking his press tour of late since the last fall's midterm elections, that maybe he is trying to bolster his profile. Maybe he took this chairmanship of the committee looking into China now to boost his profile here in Wisconsin and nationally to gear up for a run. I don't think he's going to, but he might. And you note that he had an interesting appearance on a radio talk show here in Wisconsin earlier today. You want to share the quote with what, besides the China policy that Gallagher's been using, he's got an interesting take on one of the things you and I discussed on Monday.
Mm-hmm. And I think we touched on it a little bit earlier that he has been making his radio rounds. Perhaps this is preparing to announce his bid to take on Senator Baldwin, but on the Guy Benson radio show today, Mike Gallagher said that Wisconsin Republicans need to, quote, tighten election procedures, unquote, because Democrats are good at mobilizing voters. He went on to add, I haven't yet been able to dig into the voting patterns, but we've seen time and time again that we have a tendency on the conservative side to think, well, all our votes are coming out on election day, and we like to vote on election day and in person. Well, the Democrats have embraced early voting, absentee voting, things that aren't going to go away anytime soon, essentially admitting that if we want to win elections as a conservative, we need to clamp down on how we are able to allow Wisconsin citizens to vote.
Maybe my prediction isn't as accurate then, because that's terrible. That's just either bad faith on the radio or terrible thought process, because Republicans don't do early voting because the former guy told them not to early vote.
They were literally told by their Lord and Savior to not early vote because you can't trust the system.
Former President Donald Trump took early voting and in-person absentee voting and just mailing in absentee ballots as a vendetta for why he lost in 2020. It's not that Democrats are that much better at mobilizing the early vote. It's that there was one specific Republican Party leader that said, no, you should vote in person. Don't take advantage of any of those other ways to vote.
And so the belief that there needs to be a clamping down, and he openly admits, I haven't looked into the turnout numbers yet. He's saying, without actually looking at any of the information, I'm just going to tell you that we need to clamp down on voting efforts here in Wisconsin.
It sounds like he's ignoring the facts and instead focusing on his feelings, Luke. Is that an idea that's been tossed around before? I feel like I've heard somebody say that.
Somebody somewhere has said that somewhere. But yeah, it seems like maybe he is then gearing up. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Congressman Mike Gallagher gets into this race against.
He also blamed the voters of Wisconsin, Luke, noting that we just need to figure out a way to get our people to vote, whether they vote early, in person, vote absentee, until such a moment as we actually have the ability to tighten election procedures. And we lost that opportunity because we lost the governor's race in the last election. You know, perhaps they lost the governor's race because people don't want them to, quote, tighten election procedures, unquote. It sounds like he's just openly defying the will of the Wisconsin voters at this point.
Oh, but that's par for the course for Republican elected officials here in Wisconsin and abroad. Like that ignoring the will of the people, Will, that's kind of their whole, it's part of their bit of late. And interestingly enough, the taking strange takeaways from how to address a problem is rearing its head in a different way here in Wisconsin as well, because we are getting some legislative proposals out of the Republican-led state legislature here in Wisconsin. They haven't yet folded up shop. They do have to get some work done between now and the budget season. And so we are seeing some of these proposals float out of the state capitol, Will. And this one kind of caught my eye and wanted to have a conversation on a Wednesday afternoon with William Walter about it, because the headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal: Wisconsin minors' access to social media would be dramatically limited under GOP proposal. Now, Will, the party of small governments, the party of freedom, the party of all these things they claim to be, now they're floating this idea that, well, rather than try to regulate these social media giants that, hey, let's be fair, they donate to some of our campaigns, so we can't regulate the companies. Let's regulate the individuals. Let's infringe on their ability to be able to use social media platforms for minors. And it seems kind of a straw man approach to addressing this problem. But this proposal, Will, would limit minors being able to access social media from 10 p.m. until, I believe, 6 a.m.,
but 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Thank you.
And can't let those kids be doom scrolling before school starts, Luke.
Yeah, but during the hours of school, who cares, right?
That is fine.
But what are your thoughts on this? It, to me, on its face, seems just a terrible way to approach this problem. But this is what our Republican elected officials here in Wisconsin are proposing.
You know, for a party that spends the vast majority of its time today attacking China and you know, talking about how authoritarian China is and how they're controlling all their citizens, this is eerily, eerily reminiscent of the Great Firewall of China. If you're familiar, that's the term that's used to describe internet censorship and surveillance that the Chinese government has tightly implemented over essentially the entire country, regulating what websites citizens have access to, what they're able to do online, all that kind of stuff. And it seems Wisconsin Republicans are taking a page right out of their playbook. And as you noted, trying to punish the individual rather than the entity, because if they were to recognize that the predatory behavior from these tech giants is part of the systemic problems that we have been noting for years and years and years, they'd have to look into a mirror and recognize that unfettered capitalism is not sustainable, and they refuse to do that. So instead, they're going to attack the individual. I got to think of the MLK quote, right? It's rugged individualism for us, but socialism for the wealthy and the corporations. And this is kind of another way that the rules are written differently for the powers that be, in that we're going to go after the user rather than regulating the entity itself, passing strict data laws that prevent them from harnessing our information. There's a lot of much more effective means we could take to curb the power of these tech giants, look at Europe. They've done a phenomenal job of implementing some of these policies. But the United States, you know, it's a wild west, but not in the way that Republicans are implying. Rep. David Stepien, Republican from Howard, who unveiled the proposal Tuesday. That was an actual quote of his. The way it exists now is very much the wild, wild electronic west, and both predators and aggressive advertisers have unfettered, unblocked access to our children 24/7. He's right.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that sentiment. I think that that sentiment and surveillance capitalism and not just for minors, but for all of us, I think it needs to be better addressed. But the takeaway of being, well, we're going to have permission slips for these social media accounts is essentially what it equates to, would create this massive, the party of small government. And they want to create this permission structure that these users would need to get that would prevent them and put curfew limits and infringe upon all of that rather than actually address these. It's the same thing with TikTok, where it's exactly. These Republicans are jumping to try to ban TikTok. And say that, oh, well, TikTok needs to go. It's not just the information that TikTok can get on your phone, it could get without actually users being on there. Like, the amount of user information that is just out there and in this quote-unquote wild, wild west is because these big tech companies have been able to just get away with us blindly scrolling through the terms and conditions and accepting them and not having a government that fully understands and has the willpower to regulate these companies, because it's not the onus of the users that need to be saying, oh yes, please give me permission. Oh, okay. Until I'm 18, I can't, I have a curfew, 10 PM. I can't go on this anymore. That's not what's going to solve these problems with big tech. It is having governments that have the ability, rather than accepting the lobbyist money, accepting the access that these lobbyists then get through that connection, and then just refusing to actually make any the consumer protection that could be done by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is something that was implemented throughout the Obama administration that, very similar to big tech, big banks, everything, it protected consumers. And Republicans have shown over and over and over again, they tried to dismantle it. Mick Mulvaney during the Trump administration was at the helm of this. And there has been a disregard for consumers in so many different aspects of life, including the technology that we use, the social media that we use, that it is laughable now that this is the Republican response. That it's, oh, okay, well, yes, we understand that there's social media problems, and we're going to tell minors that they can't scroll past 10 p.m. until 7 a.m., and that's going to solve all of these problems. It's a straw man approach to addressing it. I think the text of the bill that State Representative David Stepien introduced yesterday was not immediately available. I think that there are some good things here that could actually be worked out. I don't think a curfew is necessarily what needs to be addressed, but there are some of the other aspects of this proposal. Again, reading from the piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal, the measure would also limit advertisers and outside access to minors' account, prevent direct messaging from individuals who are not pre-approved by the account holder, and bar social media companies from most targeted advertising and marketing efforts directed towards account held by minors. I think that's terrific. Why does that have to stop at 18, though? Why at 18 can you all of a sudden have your
accounts? Because then, Luke, you need to learn that you're an American adult and you must defer to your corporate overlords at that point. When you're a kid, we can let you still imagine the American dream and how you're going to, you know, be the different one to break out of the systemic abuses of our corporate control. But you're exactly right. What I want to note as well, though, is enforcement challenges, right?
Yes.
How would laws like this be enforced at all? I mean, the reading over from the same piece, the Federal Children's Online Privacy Protection Act already prohibits companies from collecting data on children younger than 13 without parental consent. To comply, social media companies already ban kids younger than 13 from even signing up. But kids have gotten around that ban for years, both with and without parental consent.
Yeah. And so it's if the bill creates a box that companies have to put on there that just says, yes, I am 18, and no, I'm not a robot, you just click that, and that's the extent of it, okay, that's not actually solving this problem either. Again, circles back to it's a straw man argument to actually
pat yourself on the back, Republicans. You did it.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents Across Civic Media. If you want to share your thoughts on this big tech proposal, reining in social media, or who the Republicans may put up against U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin in 2024, now that she has announced her re-election bid, we want to hear those thoughts. 844-967-2789. Tangents. You're listening to this fine program across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, Evan Preston on the board, and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789, talking about some of the tangent headlines of the day. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announcing her re-election, her intent to run for re-election in 2024, and which Republicans may get in the race to run against her, as well as a Republican proposal in the Wisconsin State Capitol talking about limiting social media for minors and some of the good aspects of it, but some of the impractical aspects of it as well. Just not actually gripping the problem that we have and creating maybe false solutions, because just clicking a box saying, yes, I'm 18 and signing up with that age as your account, not actually addressing the problem of keeping minors off social media.
It's kind of performative, Luke, in the sense that perhaps, you know, Mike Gallagher's doing this as well. He has taken the lead on the anti-TikTok, anti-China rhetoric that we're seeing from the Republican Party. Maybe they're just doing this to say, look, we're trying to curtail big tech. We can go tell our base, guys, we're trying to fight big tech. This is what we came up with, knowing that it's not a viable long-term solution.
Yeah. And it seems like Republican onus is that they're going to try to regulate the users rather than the platforms themselves, where we could see substantial regulations. Because, Will, after the 2016 election, Facebook did an internal dive into what was leading to the outsource influence of foreign actors on Facebook, non-American actors on Facebook. And they looked at the algorithm and they tweaked it, and Facebook got better for a little while there. They improved because the algorithm changes lessened the amount of controversy that was driven on Facebook. They made changes, but then not everybody was scrolling as long as they normally would. They were no longer interacting like they were. And so Facebook went, okay, we're going to change this back, because they saw user engagement drop. And it's more important about profits than the well-being of the users, according to executives at Facebook. But there could be regulations.
Everyone everywhere, Luke.
Yeah.
It always comes back to profits.
There could be regulations there that would improve these systems. And I don't think putting the responsibility and the agency onto the users is the correct way to go about solving this problem. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can be like Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I just wanted to return to the speculation you had started earlier in your program in reference to what Republicans might put in a bid to go up against Tammy Baldwin in the senatorial race. And I don't know if you touched on this or not. I was out of the discussion, but I would like to throw into the mix Paul Ryan, you know, longtime Wisconsinite who left the speakership of the House. You know, the height of his powers. I always thought that was one of the oddest things I've ever seen, where a man who has one of the most powerful positions in the country, certainly, if not the world, Speaker of the House, you decide what legislation is going to the floor, very powerful place to be, just up and says, okay, I'm leaving. I want to spend more time with my family. And at a time when his family didn't have anything particularly catastrophic going on, there was not illness or disability or something going on that where there was a need, he just up and decided, okay, I'm out of here, and I'm going to take a slot at a board of directors on Fox News. And he's just kind of hid for a while through the worst of Trump. And he was involved in that conversation that was recorded where I don't know if you recall that. I can't remember the exact words, but it was to the effect of what happened with Trump and Russia kind of stays in the family. We won't talk about that. It stays in the family. Well, I think he sort of sees that Trump may be hitting a wall soon, and he's been hiding. He just recently wrote a book called American Renewal with American Enterprise Institute, having some input into this, with this vast sort of, here's a map of what America should be doing. So what better way to launch it than to run for senator here in Wisconsin and then run for president with the new book in his pocket, Senate title behind him. And, you know, he's the not Trump, if you will. He's the not Trump, the guy who's got the big ideas. Not that I think he does, but that's how he will portray himself. So that's my speculation, and I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Joe. And while we have you, do you think Republican voters would go for that then? There are a lot of Republican voters out there that love them some Donald Trump still. And I don't think Paul Ryan's got any love in those voters' households anymore. Do you think that there's enough individuals out there that would vote for that type of candidacy to be able to send Paul Ryan as the Republican nominee for this U.S. Senate seat in 2024? Do we still have you, Joe?
I think we might have lost Joe.
Oh, we might have lost Joe there.
She's there, but she's not there.
That's okay. But what are your thoughts, Will? You think that there's enough appetite there for Paul Ryan and the Republican Party, even here in Wisconsin, his home state?
You know, Paul Ryan was definitely somebody I thought of. He came to mind when you said, do you have any ideas of who might run? Joe mentioned it, though, that he clearly saw the writing on the wall that Donald Trump was going to, we'll say it, destroy the party, and was willing to destroy the party for his own personal gain. So he tried to get out of the way of this rampaging bull that he knew he couldn't control, bide his time, maybe come back when the opportunity presented itself. But as you also noted, because Paul took that stance in regards to Trump, the vast majority of the still supporting Trump Republican electorate despises him, like absolutely hates him. If they Google Rhino in the dictionary, I think Paul Ryan is the face that will come up. So I don't think he will be able to run yet. Maybe that changes in a few more years if Donald Trump ends up in prison and the Fox News empire starts lambasting him and he becomes the kind of toxic association that he should have been years and years and years ago. Then maybe Ryan has the ability to swoop back in. But at this time, I don't think he could.
And the interesting part is before Robin Voss got primaried from the right here in Wisconsin this past fall, in 2016 or 2018, I forget which cycle it was, Paul Ryan was dealing with those same far-right primary challengers because of his stance against Trump in the party there. And so it is interesting. I don't know if there's an appetite there. Sure, maybe Paul Ryan could win a statewide race here in Wisconsin, but to be able to do that, you got to win the primary. And I don't think Paul Ryan wins a primary for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin in 2024. I don't see it happening for those exact reasons, Will, but it will be interesting to see in the coming days. You're going to want to stay tuned to Dueling Tangents because there's going to be a lot of Republicans jumping in, and we're going to be talking about that and so many more Wisconsin headlines. Really appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday afternoon, Will. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on the show tab, Dueling Tangents. You can see today's edition and every day's edition there on the website. Will, enjoy the rest of the warm weather.
I most certainly will. Take it easy, party people.
Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.